Okay, Rabbi said today's daf is daf chavav. We're holding the fourth line from the top. Omer Reb Shimon, Batchilo Hayu Koyin Oisan Oisvei Shvias. What is this all about? If we go back to daf chav dalet Amid Beis, you recall we learned back on Erev Shabbos that the Mishnah enumerates four categories of psulim derabbanan who are therefore disqualified from being edim or dayanim. All four cases had to do with people that unfortunately were lax somewhat in monetary matters, and therefore they're disqualified from being on a Bezdin panel and or from testifying as to any monetary matters, because the Torah says, Al-Toshis Yodcha Im Rosha Liois Eid Chomas. And Eid Chomas means someone that unfortunately is not the way he's supposed to be, he's not meticulous when it comes to monetary matters. So therefore he's disqualified. Who are the four? We have Nesach Kuvya, Malva Beribis, Mafricha Yoinim, and Sochre Shvias. Sochre Shvias means those people that engage in business with Peirois Shvias, which is also, it says in the Torah, Liachla V'loy L'schoyre. Now you're wondering, I said that these are all four carries of Derabbanan. Sochre Shvias is the Araisa. We already looked at this back on Friday, and Toisa said it's talking about Bizman Azeh, where Shvias is Derabbanan. Okay. Now, getting to the end of the Mishnah. Omer Reb Shimon, v'tchilo ha'yukoyin oisan oisvei shvias. Initially, we didn't call them soichrei shvias, we called them oisvei shvias. Oisvei shvias means people who gather peiros during the Shemitah year. Mishrobu anosin, when the anosin, those people that are gebalt mentioned, like listim, people that force themselves, violate you, all different types of bad connotations. Chazur leKroys, and then they said, you know what, we're not going to call them Oisvei, we're going to call them Soichrei Shvias. When we learned this, Rashi told us, the Gemara Mefarish. You got to wait for the Gemara, because on the surface, this doesn't really tell us anything, what's this all about. And Baruch Hashem, we have reached that Gemara Mefarish, but on here on Chav Vav Amar Aleph, Om Reb Shimon, Betchil Yikoyin Oisan, Oisvei Shvias, Maika Omar. What is Reb Shimon saying? Om Reb Yehuda, Hachi Kama. But chilu hayu imrim uisvei shvias kisherin soichrin psulin mishrobu mamtziei mois laniim viaz lianiim viaz filuhu umaisu chazu leimach echadzev psulin. What does that mean? So, but chilu in the outset, there were two categories of people. There were those that were uisvei shvias, and there were those that would soichrei shvias. Now, soichrei shvias, we know what that means. Soichrei shvias means that they go and take shmita produce and they sell it. And they make a profit, or what have you. So, that is, of course, Asur min ha-Torah, by Shvias min ha-Torah, Midrabban, it's Asur min ha-Torah, because it says in the Pasuk, Li Achla v'loy l'schayra. What are Oisvei Shvias? Oisvei Shvias are people that gather more than they need for the moment. In other words, they're going to go into their field, or to somebody else's field, and gather a very, very large amount. So, what's wrong with that? There's something known as Zman Bir. What means Zman Bir? The Gemara learns from a Pasuk that Kola Lechai Min Asoda Kaleila V'hem Tuchom Min Habayis, which means that just like we human beings need food to exist, Lehavdil, so do the animals and so do the wild animals. They also need something to exist. In Shemitah year, although you have the right, of course, to go not only to your field, but to anybody's field, and take Min HaHefker, however, you have to leave enough so that you don't have more food than the Zman Bir. What is the Zman Bir? Zman Bir means that time that the Chacham tell us that from this point on there will no longer be any food left for the animals, and therefore at this point you have to make sure no longer to keep that food stored with you at home, but you have to go and do a Bir. Bir Pashup Shab means that you put it out for the animals once again out in the field. That's a machlokes rishonim, but that's beyond the pale of our Gemara. Anyway, so to go and collect together Peiros Shvias at the outset is not no problem. However, and even today, in Eretz Yisrael, the Boter Dinam, the Rabbanut, and the Eid HaCharedis, and others, they have calendars during the Shemitah year that the Zman Bir for tomatoes is kach v'kach, for potatoes it's a different date, and for carrots a different date, and for fruits a different date. They have, you can go and hang the calendar up where it shows what the Zman Bir is. And by that Zman Bir, you have to make sure that you have consumed all of that food and don't leave it beyond the Zman Bir. Okay, so now initially they had those two categories, those osrei shviyas that could have and should have eaten all of the collected shviyas before that zman. Unfortunately, there may have been some that were not careful about it and collected more than was necessary, and or held on to it beyond the zman. But this apparently was not a major concern, because we can always justify people that are being osrei shviyas that they're going to eat it before the zman. They have large families, they will call together guests and friends and all the rest. So, but they said osrei shviyas ksher. There's no problem. You're allowed to go and collect shviyas product, and that's okay. If chas v'sholom it goes beyond the zman beer, you know, we'll worry about it then. But initially, it's not an issue. Sachen, however, people that are collecting together the shviyas and after that are selling it, that's a problem. And therefore, that's the fourth category of omission, that the psulin for edus and for dayanus. However, misherobu mamtziei mo'is la'aniyim, what happened was that there were some, I don't know if you can go and call them tricksters or gangsters, but you have people that wanted to go and collect together a lot of peder shviyas to keep themselves and their families fed for the foreseeable future. For they, so to say, nishka past, they didn't want to go themselves into the field and have to collect and pull and push and be ochre and harvest. So they said, I know the aniyim go through the fields, because after all, they're the poorest of society. So people would ask them to be their shluchim, to be their messengers. Yankel, I hear you're going into Beryl's field tomorrow to go and collect for yourself. Can I go and ask you for a favor? Here, I'm going to give you $100 bill. Please go and collect another extra 10%, 20%, 30% for me and for my family. So Misharobu Mamtziei Mo'is La'aniyim. When you had more and more people doing that and having their aniyim do quote unquote the dirty work for them to go and collect together the payers and the vegetables, and those aniyim made money on the deal. Va'azli aniyim, the aniyim taka listened. Va'asvalu, and they collected on their behalf. Umaisu, and they brought the tvua, they brought the payers, they brought the vegetables to whoever was mamtziei mo'is, whoever gave them money. Chazuleimar. So then the osvei shviyas themselves, those aniyim that are collecting the shviyas, they're now engaging in in being sachar. They're not engaging in the sense of selling it to the public, but they're collecting to go and sell it to Yankel and Beryl and Shmerel, whoever asked them to go on their behalf.
They're contractors, basically.
Contractors. And therefore, chazulay me'echadzeb, yechadzeb sulim. So even those that are going into the garden, into the field, collecting, and they're collecting more than they should be collecting, so then we have to suspect that they themselves are really masquerading, they call themselves osrei shviyas, but really they're sachrim because they're contractors in collecting all of that food.
It's similar today, people pay someone to stand online for them for something scarce, you know, that's a stand online item, and they hire people, and some people make a living from it.
Yeah, I can imagine. So says the Gemara, so that's why they said, however, we're not finished yet. Kashu ba b'nei rachba, the b'nei rachba, when they learned this, those of you who want to know who the B'nai Rachva were, we had it back on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara identified them. Anyway, so Kosh B'nai Rachva, Hai Mishrabu Anosim. Sorry.
I'm curious now.
Hey, I've piqued your curiosity. Okay, so we got to go back for a moment to Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara identified two brothers as being B'nai Rachva. Let's see if we can go and find it. It's got to be somewhere here.
Eifu Avimi.
Eifu Avimi, ah. Shkoyach Mendi. Eifu Avimi.
In the middle of the page.
Middle of the page. Okay. Good to see everyone. Good morning. We are in the middle where Chav Vav Amid Aleph, roughly 15 lines from the top of the Amid. So the Gemara said that Kashuva B'nai Rachba, when B'nai Rachba heard this Pshat, they said the Pshat is Abyssal Shver. Why is Abyssal Shver? Hai Mishirobu Anosa Mishirobu HaTagorim Miboyalei. We're not talking about anosim, anybody that's forcing somebody else to do something. We're talking about tagorim. Tagorim meaning those people that wanted to go and contract with the aniyim to please go and collect more schoira and we'll pay you for it. So that's tagorim. That's like merchants, people in business. There's no anosim. Nobody's, you know, taking a knife or a gun and putting it to their head. And therefore, says the Gemara, I have a brand new pshat. Initially, when we saw these osvim that are collecting in the fields, and we see that they're collecting a huge amount, as well as the Sochrim who are dealing with them. We said to ourselves, both of them are psulim, because you have the Sochrim who are selling to the public, and you have these Oisvim, these Aniyim, that are also making business during the Shemitah year, not by going and collecting for themselves, but for collecting for others as contractors and getting money for it. So they said that both of them, unfortunately, are possible to be Edom or Dayan. However, Mishirobu Anasim, now what means Anasim? Maininu, that's Arnuna. Ooh, what means Arnuna? Means that the local government, the king, or
poll
whoever.
Tax.
Sorry?
A poll tax, maybe.
Okay.
No. Look at Rashi.
I don't know if it's a poll tax, but it's a tax.
It's a tax on
food.
On tfua.
If you look at the Rashi, 5-6 lines from the top, Arnuna. Mas shegoiva melech. This is a tax which is collected by the king. Menat tvois kach v'kach kurim menasoda lishana. He says, I know that this field is roi to go and, for instance, produce 100 bushels of wheat. You got to go and give me 5 bushels or 10 bushels a year as my tax.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
I think it took a lot more.
Okay, just throwing out an
excise
tax. Today they have Arnona, I think, in Israel.
Yeah,
it's
with
a neighborhood in Yerushalayim.
But it's also part one of the fees when you rent an apartment. Yeah.
Mortgage or something.
Yes, what you're saying is correct. Anyway, the point of this is, if you're going to go and tell the king, it's Shemitah, nobody's planted, the king will say, you guys are nuts. You've got to go and produce your 10 bushels of wheat, whether you like it or not. You got to pay it to me. And if not, presumably you have to go and give the monetary equivalent. So you got it. Oh, so what happens? Then, Mishroba Anosu Maininu Anuna, Kidam Machros Rupianai, Poiku Veziru Bishviyas Mishim Anuna. Rabbi Yisai, we Chazal are giving you a hatter to go and plant. Wow, it's against the Torah. It's not against the Torah, because Shvi'is Mizman is
Drabbanan.
It's Heim Amru, Heim Amru. If in the absence of Arnuna, we should continue what it says in the Torah, not to plant, not to harvest, not to do anything in the Shemitah year. But unfortunately, we are here, we'd like to have a knife or a gun to our heads because of the king that says, you got to go and pay. And therefore they said, it's all right. Mishum Arnuna. And as a result, Chazur Loimar, Oisvin Ksheinim Esachrim Psulim. Oisvin doesn't only just mean the Oisvin, it means those people that are working in the fields and ultimately are gathering the crop and are going to be giving that 5, 10, 20%, whatever it is, to the king.
Because it's a heter, yeah.
Because it's a heter, so that's why they're Ksheinim. And the Sachrim are those that are Psulim, those that try to make business out of it. You can't make business. You can only do the amount that you need to go and take care of the Arnuna. Well, since we have finished the first part of the Gemara, if you want to look a little bit more into this Arnuna Drabbanan, you can see the top Toisvis. Toisvis, in fact, gives two pshatim. The first pshat is in Toim Mishem Arnuna, Heitiru Lachrish Roya, that we saw it here, Raisa, Vieshloima, the Mar Bishvis Manazah, which is Drabbanan, which is the Teretz that we just gave. But then Toisvis adds another facet. Inami, it's Bikuach Nefeshu, Sheshoy Lehem HaMelech Mas, the Ein Lehem Mashi Yifrenu. If they don't go and pay the king, they throw him in jail. And unfortunately, they don't typically come out of jail. They pass away there.
Is that heter of the Medina allowed to go and sell the land for the fields to the Arabs?
Initially, yeah, that was the original, because they were... But today, it's Baruch Hashem.
You can manage.
A lot of the way they can manage is because they bring in imported from Chutzlans. And then others, of course, rely on the heter of the Rabbanut. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So now the Gemara tells us a story. The story starts off on a very nice way. You'll see it ends off a little bit, unfortunately, negative, but we just have to understand what we can understand. Rabbi Bar Zarnuki, Reb Shimon ben Yoit, Sodak, Avak Azal, the Abish Shona Ba'asya. These two great Talmid Chachamim were asked to, and they're now going to participate in the deliberations concerning going and make an Ibur Shana. We had earlier on in our Masechta that every couple of years you have to go and decide whether you're going to be Ma'aber the year or not, added an additional month to making it to a Jewish leap year. And these two Chachamim were going on the route to Asya for that purpose. Now Asya is in Chutz Laretz. And that's a big problem because we already said earlier on that you're supposed to go and be Ma'aber in Eretz Yisrael. So the Toises, second Toises, talks about that. And Toises says to go make the official declaration of the Ibur Shana that has to be made in Eretz Yisrael. But for deliberations, you can go and deliberate in Chutz La'aretz as well. So they were going somewhere in Chutz La'aretz and Asiya to go and deliberate. All right. Anyway, Poga Bahu Reish Lakish, Itbul Badayu. Reish Lakish saw these two Chacham traveling, and he became the Tofel. In other words, Mitkishlept. He added himself to them and wanted to go and travel together with them. Why did he want to? Omar, he said, Ezel Echsi Hechi Avdi Ovda. I want to see how you do this Ibra Shana. Apparently he had never participated in this before, or maybe he had, and he wanted to see how these two Chachamim are going to approach the various calculations, deliberations, negotiations, the Gabi Ibra Shana. So therefore, Ifu Bahadayu, he joined the team going towards Asia. As they were traveling on the roads, Chazi Dehahu Gavra de Kokarif, they saw that there was a person. The Gemara hasn't told us yet, but we'll see momentarily that was a Shemitah year. During the Shemitah, they were getting together. That in itself, says Toisus, is a raya that we weren't making the Ibra Shana this particular year, because you're not allowed to be Ma'abed Shana in the Shemitah year. What's the reason why? The Gemara said, because you're going to go and add an additional month that you cannot
hardship.
An additional hardship to all the farmers. They couldn't work in the field for 12 months. Now you're telling them they can't work 13 months. It's going to be bad for them, bad for the field, etc. Anyway, so says the Gemara Chasiel Ugabra, the Kukariv, as they're traveling on the road, they see that there's someone who is working in the field. The word Kariv means to plow. Shkoyach. We had this in Rashi in this week's parasha, Kivras Oretz. Kivras Oretz, one of the Pshatim was the amount that one plows in a day. But anyway, Om Lehen. So now he, Reish Lakish, commented the other two, he's a Koyin v'choy Reish. Why did he refer to him as a Koyin? Not that he knew him personally, he did not. But the Gemara is going to tell us shortly that the Kahanim, unfortunately, were all Nechshedu al Hashvias. When it came to Shemitah products, they were unfortunately all Choshud, that they're going and doing things which are wrong. He said, if he is plowing in the field during the Shemitah year, Muzachzan, he's a Koyin, and he's being over on the Hilcha Shemitah, that guy.
Isn't that like painting broad strokes? Like just saying all Kohanim or Choshed, that they're...
Well, in general, most of the Kohanim were Choshed al Shvias. We'll see shortly in the Gemara why. And therefore, he's saying that fellow who's working in Shvias, in his property, he's probably a Koyin. Of course, he might not be a Koyin, but that's what we call in Yiddish Akasha Famasa. It means, this is what Reish Lakish said. He pointed to him, he said, he's a Koyin v'chosh. Amrulai, the other two who are slightly more gentle, if you will, what did they say? Yochaloymer, I guess that an Ibasoy Koy. If we ask him, they didn't. If we ask him, could very well be, he says, I'm just an Agistan. Now, what means an Agistan? So Rashi brings two pshatim. The second pshat is, if you will, a nice continuation of the previous Gemara. And he's saying, he's only doing Shemar Nona Sochre, Balabais Lachreish. Unfortunately, the word has gotten out that everybody has to go and produce 20 bushels, 100 bushels, whatever, for the year, and give it to the Melech. We just said a moment ago that the Chachamim were Maskim, Kirmachers, or Bianai, you're allowed to. And therefore, he's just following Rabbi Yanai's Psak, that you're allowed to go work in the field for that purpose, to go and pay off the Arnuna. Anyway, Reish Lakish did not respond. Apparently, Reish Lakish felt that Rabbi Yanai's Takana was not Ungenu and wasn't accepted by the masses, because otherwise he should say the same thing. Anyway, but this is the first story. As they continued traveling, Suchazil Gavi, they saw another person to have a Kosach Bekarmi. Kosach means to prune. A kerem, of course, is in a vineyard. What's the reason why you normally prune in a vineyard? To go improve the vines, to go improve the clusters of grapes, because of too many vines, the toignish, it takes away the nourishment and the koyach from the soil. So that's why it was Bekoseach Bekarmi. And Omulahed, once again, Reish Lakish was critical. He said, Koyin Vizamar, you have a Koyin who's going and doing pruning in Shemitah year. And again, they were like defense attorneis, and they said, Amrulei, Yochaloim ala akal beis abarani tzarech. The reason why I'm pruning these vines is not because I want to improve the produce. I know you're not allowed to do that in Shvias. The reason why I'm doing it is because we need these thin vines to use as netting in the beis habad when we're going to try to go and crush the olives. What's the point over here? I haven't been. I don't know if any of you have ever been in an olive press, but the way they used to press the olives was they would have something like a large pit there in the middle of the press where they would go and put all the olives on, and the olives would be heaped on and would go above the top of that pit, and then they would have this huge stone that they would go and lower down on it, and it would eventually would crush it, and then that would produce olive juice or olive oil.
He had a beam on top.
We've seen pictures of it in earlier Gemaras. So now the question is, as that beam and as that stone comes down onto the olives, what stops the olives from spreading and moving out of the way? I mean, if they were animate, of course they would move out of the way. But even if they're not, just by the fact that you have all these olives together and they're being pushed down, some of them are going to move out of the way. And therefore you're not going to be able to crush them. So they had a netting around it to hold them in place. Part of that netting was using those types of vines from the kerem, and therefore that's the reason why he's doing it. So he's not doing it to improve the field, so there's nothing wrong. You're allowed to do that.
Is that a Dovah Shem Miskamen type thing?
I don't think it's Dovah Shem Miskamen. I think the only time it's also if you're doing anything that really improves the produce and improves the vineyard. For all I know, he wasn't improving it at all. He was just cutting away here and there and everywhere because he needed it for the netting. Amalehem. So Rish Lakish says to them, Halev Yedea, the heart knows the truth. Im la'akel, im li al-kal kalois. What's the reason why he's snipping away and cutting away in his vineyard? Is it la'akel, like you say, la'ekel be'sabad, or is it al-kal kalois? Al-kal kalois means, chas v'sholom, to sin. The reason why he uses the term al-kal kalois, of course, is because it's a play on words. Akel and al-kal kalois, is he doing it for a pure purpose, or is he doing it for a sinning purpose? Only one that really knows is that fellow's heart. Okay, so those are the two stories. Now the Gemara does a quick analysis and says, "Hai amalehu bereisha." Which of the two stories happened first? We only know the order as brought in the Gemara. But theoretically, maybe the second case of the kerem happened before the first case of the person plowing in his field. So now the Gemara will tell us, what difference does it make? I'll tell you what difference it makes. Ilei mahakam maisa. If we're going to go in the order that we have in our Gemara, that the first story was the plowing in the field, why, when it came to the vineyard situation, did the Gemara have to give, or did these two rabbis have to go and give Reish Lakish a different reason that he's perhaps taking it for La'ekel Beis Chabad, for the netting? He could have said the same thing as he said before. The purpose of this person's working in the vineyard, it's taka true, as a result there'll be better grapes and more grapes and larger grapes. Maybe it's necessary for the arnuna, because that's what the king is demanding. So Ibazoi, use the same justification as before. Why do we have to come on to an Eko Be'sabat? Ella says, Yimara ha'oma liberesha. In fact, you have to review, not review, you have to reverse the two cases. The second case happened first. On that one, they told him, Kasa Pakari, he's not doing it for purposes of improving the produce, he's just doing it solely for purposes because he needs this wood or this vine to use to encircle a base of bad, and therefore, everything is kusha v'yushul chatchila, no problem. Now when he had the earlier story, which now the Gemara is making the second story, that the person is plowing in the field, you can't say, well, the reason why he's plowing because he wants to take out some materials for netting in the base of bad. That's not appropriate. So therefore he had to say, oh, it's because of the arnuna that everybody has to work now in the field, whether you like it or not, because of the king's decree. Okay, so that's the end of this part of the story. We're not totally ended yet. Why did Reish Lakish refer both times to Koyin and Koyin? Unfortunately, the Kahanim were Nechshedu Ashvias. Now, why were they Nechshedu Ashvias? We'll see in another moment. It says that Nan, but on the side it says Tasani, we have Nebraisa, so a truma shenofla lemeya, so in shoshvias. Typically, when you're learning Masech v'Shvias, you talk about one saw of truma falling into 100 saw of chulin. So now does it, in a sense, contaminate the chulin and now become all truma, and then only a kohen would be allowed to eat it. However, each time if you have at least 100 parts of the chulin, or our Gemara, the sign of Shvias, vis-a-vis the truma. So therefore the truma has fallen into a mixture of 101. 101 means that truma together with the other 100. Ah, truma becomes bottle in 101. Though truma doesn't become bottle, beroy, even not b'shishim, but it does become bottle in 101. Okay, so what happens now? Instead of the sor truma falling into regular chulin, it fell into 100 sor shviyas. Okay, so what happens now? So to braisa, tala. Tala means just go and remove one bundle or one sor of truma, give it, of course, to the kohen, and all the rest of it will be mutal lizor, because the truma became bottle in the 101. And when can the zor eat it? He has to eat it quickly before the zman biur for the 100 soin which are remaining. If he can't go and eat it all on his own, he'll have to share it with family members and friends, and so on. Then that's if you have 100 to 1. Pachas mikan, what happens if there's less shviyas than 100 parts, there are only 50 parts or 80 parts, and therefore the truma did not become bottle. So then the whole thing has become truma-sized, if you will, it's all become truma, and therefore it says, the price of your kavu, let it go and rot. And the obvious question is, rat? At the very least, go and sell it or give it to him or whatever. But why should we let it rot? After all, I can't eat it. I'm not a kohen. But a kohen can eat it. So let him go and eat the whole thing. And if you're going to go and sell it, do it chutz mi dmei oisesor. Make sure to go and
discount.
Discount one of them for one saw, meaning because one saw is for short truma, that you had to go and give to the kohen, that you can't go and charge the kohen for. Here we're talking about, however, the rest. So all the rest, im karen the kohen. It's not so simple how you can go and sell it. I isn't this schoir repair shmias. So you have the choices right next to our gemara, im karen the kohen, with my truma, if you're talking about aslas, the schoir repair shmias. I in shop. Anyway, the point of all of this is, that particular, let's say if it fell 1 into 50, so you have 51, so one of them you have to give to the kohen, or you sell all 51, but you tell them, I'm only selling you 50, I'm not selling you 51, because one of them is a freebie, comes along for the ride, because that is real truma. Good. So now the question is, why do you say you're kavu? Why did you go and sell it? We say, kehanam ha-shviyas. We say, kehanam ha-taka choshed on shviyas. Now, what's the reason why kehanam ha-choshed on shviyas? And what would be the problem over here? With choshed on shviyas, that they're going to leave the shviyas after the zman biur. Oy, oy, oy. If it's after the zman biur, then it's going to be over on that aveira of holding shviyas after the zman. Why would the kehanam be choshed on that more than anybody else? So Rashi says a very interesting svar. Because kehanim are used to eating things which have a special kedusha to it. They eat truma. Nobody else is allowed to eat truma. They eat kachi kudushim in the base of English. Nobody else can eat kachi kudushim. So they feel that they happen to be in a special elite category of people that are able to go and eat foods which are imbued with more kedusha than normal. Shviyas, of course, is imbued in the kedusha sa'aretz. That's why it has its special dinim of during the Shemitah year. So that's kind of feel. Levi and Yisrael, you can't eat it, but I can eat it. So therefore, if you're going to go and sell them the 51 bushels of Sofik Truma and Shviyas.
101 or
51?
The 101
is bottle.
Is bottle mavutl. Two cases. The first case was saw truma shenaf lemeya sa'in shal shviyas, tala, and then anybody can eat it, even a zar. Even you and I, and non-kehanim can go and eat it, because you just remove the one out of the 101, give it to a kohen, the rest can be eaten by anyone and everyone.
But if it's 99...
Pachas mikan, if it's less than 100, now we can do 99, but then people get confused, 101, so let's go make it easy, 50.
Okay.
It fell into 50, then it does not become bottle, and now whatever you're going to eat, this whole heap of tvua now is a hybrid of truma and shviyas. Because it's a hybrid of truma, the only one that can eat it is a kohen. So you would think that the braiser would say, sell it to the kohen, and just give him a discount on that one so, which is truma. Says the braiser, no, you're kavu. It all has to go in rat. Why didn't you go and sell it to the kehanim? Says Rashi, well, because kehanim were choshed ashvias. Now you're wondering, why are they choshed ashvias? And that's what Rashi in the middle of the Amud, the dmei truma, you see Rashi, no, next one. Next should do kehanim. I just passed halfway down the Rashi's. Next should do kehanim. Lahashois shvias achar zman habir. They are choshed for holding back Shemitah produce even after the calendar date of this matbir, to moirubo hetera, why they might hetem shim the ishtru truma, kachikuja shim the kabai. They say we always eat foods on a higher madrega. Rashvi is not a kibushas oretzi, so we're going to eat shvias as well. You're not allowed to. So that's why, don't give it to God. Anyway, what do we see from this? That's why Reish Lakish referred to the person who was plowing, the person who was pruning, as Kohanim, even though they may not have been a Kohen, but they're unfortunately choshed on Hilchei Shemitah.
So this is not really, the Shemitah produce isn't necessarily theirs, it's really, it's more of a blanket gezeira than it is being applied to them.
Because I'm not sure what gezeira you mean.
No, here we're saying we shouldn't allow the Kohanim to sell it to them because they're chashed of Shvias.
Correct.
But here, this Shvias belonged to some other person.
You're talking about the two fields here, the two cases? Of Reish Lakish?
No, I'm talking about here in
this price.
The mixture.
So what are we worried about? That they're going to let it go? The problem with Chashad Shvias, because we're going to let think they're going to let it go beyond this
month
here.
That's the problem. And unfortunately, we're choshed all Kehanim, even though maybe only 5%, 10%, whatever, but it was enough to make a blanket Zeta, your car. Okay, so now let's get back to our story with the two Rabbanim that are traveling together with Reish Lakish. Amru, they said to themselves, true de Hudein. The word true means he's a troublemaker. You see, we're going here nicely and pleasantly. We were talking Torah and everything was great and fine. And oh yeah, Mishtaran, he's a Koyin Choyrish and he's a Koyin who is pruning. And therefore they got a little bit upset with him. And they said,
who's a Reish Lakish is a troublemaker?
Yes, that's what they're saying.
Oh wow.
I told you that the story is going to end off with a little bit of negativity. Yeah. Now you see where I'm coming from.
Got it.
The reason why Reish Lakish was a chas v'sholem, a troublemaker, the reason why he was choshed, you remember we had about Reish Lakish a couple of days ago, where the Gemara was kind of surprised that Reish Lakish was so courteous and so cordial vis-a-vis Reb Meir. Hekolish, yoymed avazeh. The Gemara said because Reish Lakish, when he was learning, he would go and be oikir horim etoichlen zeh bezeh. He was so brilliant, he would go and take mountains
like
and
Robert Arachmeni in Oker Haram.
Yeah, exactly, similar to
that.
Yosef of Sinai.
Yeah, but Rabbi, we only know that he was Oikid Haram, we don't know that he was Teuchlin Zebazah.
Yeah, right.
Here we know he was Teuchlin Zebazah. So he didn't suffer fools lightly. And he's saying to himself, listen, Aleb Yedea, I know, I can recognize who are the Ganovim and the culprits and the bad guys and who are the good guys. These two guys that I just saw in the fields, they do not look like people that deserve to go and get. Exactly. They don't look like outstanding members of the congregation, and that's what he felt. The other two felt that Reish Lakish is being a little bit too harsh, and therefore they said about him, he's a truth, that he's causing us troubles. And now, when we're going to start deliberating in the calculations for the Ibra Shana, who knows how many problems he's going to make for us at that time. And therefore, they said, Omru Trudu Hudain, he's a troublemaker. Kimotel Hasam, and they arrived in Asia, wherever they were supposed to go. And remember, whenever the Gemara talks about this Ibra Shana, they always talk about the rabbis going up into an Igra, always to the second floor, to an Aliyah. Presumably the reason why they did that was so that they should not be
interrupted
by anyone. They didn't allow any telephones, no iPhones, no faxes, no emails. Gunish, that everybody should be able to concentrate solely on that. Kimat l'hasam, when they finally got this Likul Igra, they went up to the second floor. How do you get to a second floor? Presumably there was a ladder of some sort.
Right.
And then Shofula Dargimi to say, and then they pulled up the ladder after them so that Reish Lakish should not be able to go up. Reish Lakish was not happy about what just happened. Also, the Kabbalah Rabbi Yochanan eventually came back to Rabbi Yochanan, who was his brother-in-law and his Rebbe and his Chabrusa and Chaber and all the rest. And he told him, Omruloi. So now, he, Reish Lakish, reporting now to Rabbi Yochanan, and he's asking him, that he odom achashurim ala shvias, kesherim la abishana, people that are chasher on shvias, are they qualified, are they eligible to be ma'abah the year? Hoder Omar, and then after that, Reish Lakish. So now, it's not that these two great people, Reb Chiya Bar Zanuki, Reb Shimon Ben Yoitzodik, Uchosher Leshvias, he just meant because they are defending those people that are, in his opinion, Reish Lakish's opinion, were real Rishoyim, that were Choshel Leshvias, and therefore the Apostle Edis and Apostle Etayonis, if they are representing them and defending them, then unfortunately they're guilty by association. Therefore, are they Koshel Abishana? Now, Reb Yochanan didn't have a chance to answer. Hoda Omar, Loi Kasheli. So then said Reish Lakish, you know what? I think twice about it. Maybe they could be ma'abed shana. Maybe they have a shloi shiroyeh bakar. Barabonan achish benayu samach. What was this all about? Back, if you remember, on Daf Yud Ches, we had an interesting discussion over there when we talked about Ibr Shana, and we said one of the three main reasons that you can ma'abed shana is because of the tkufa, and the chachamim were wondering, should we or should we not? And then the Gemara told three stories of Shloi Shiroye Bakar that they were talking about from their own experiences, whether they thought this year was ro'oy appropriate to be ma'aber. So you recall a couple of stories where the Gemara said, for instance, one of the three said to the others, in Tor Mitzvar, Mitzlag, Yomus.
Where are we,
Yudches. Yudches is 18, it's Kaminyan Chai. See, it's nice. Everybody wants to look at it. Looking at, it's just about a quarter from the bottom of the Amud. In other words, about 12 to 15 lines from the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara begins, V'hanoch Gimel Roye Bokar. That's Yudches and Rebbe. Do you have that, Gimel Roye Bokar? The three were talking privately, and the rabbis were passing by, and they overheard the conversation. Chad Omer Im Bokir, Bokhir. If in this month both the earlier produce that we planted as well as the later produce that we planted, if both of them can be harvested, they both ripen in this month, this is Chodesh Adar, because this happens all the time. Chodesh Adar, the tvua from that was planted 3 months ago and the tvua that was planted a month ago or 6 weeks ago, they both miraculously, they can be harvested at the same time. Rashi says we're talking about chitim and tzoyrim, one takes longer, one takes shorter. Vimlav, however, if they don't both harvest at the same time, leisdin adar, it means it's still early, it's still Shabbat time. If it's still Shabbat time, that means that Pesach is coming in too early. So we have to do is we have to go and add another month. They didn't say we have to add another month. The rabbi said, based on what they heard from that Roye Bakar. V'chad Amar, another one said, im tor bitzvar, if my shor bitzvar in the morning, bitlag, feels like it's so cold that Yomus is going to die in tlag, in sheleg, in the snow, ubetera, yet in the afternoon, it's so warm, bitul te'ena yidmuch, it's going to want to lie down under the shadow or the shade of a fig tree because it's just too hot, yishlach mashrei. Otherwise, then the skin will fall off or something like that. Dein hu ador. So that's Chodesh Ador, when the morning it's freezing, in the afternoon it's nice and warm. V'yem lav. However, if that's not the situation, lestin ador, it's still the end of the winter. It's still the end of the winter. It's still Shvat and not ador. V'chadom, the other one said, im kidom takif lechoda, yehei yipach beluach nofik lekible. Kidam takav chada means that you go out in the morning and you're walking out in the street and it's so cold that you feel the cold wind blowing against you. However, yibach beluach, if you're able to go and blow back at the wind that nafik lekible that's coming to makabel upon him, and you're able to push it away with your breath, that means it's not freezing cold like the middle of the winter. It means that we're ready in other times, springtime. Vimlav, however, if it's so cold and you blow, and your blowing is gunish mit gunish, the wind overtakes your blowing and trumps it. What happens late in Adar, but rather it is Shvat. When the rabbis heard that, Bavrua Rabban Lahi Shota, they were ma'aber the year. And then the Gemara, of course, asked Vitibzbara, Rabban Aravsa, Samach, they're going to go and base all of their calculations based on the hearsay from these three Roye Bakar. And Rabban Achush ben Nayu Samach, they had their own calculations, and they had already decided that this year is a good year, appropriate to go and be ma'aber. Roye Bakar is still with the Sayyai Mitzayu. They were here, they were happy to hear that the Roye Bakar felt the same way, because they're saying, so we see that it's not only based on our astronomical calculations, that this should be the year that we're ma'aber, but we hear on the ground, so to speak, for the people working on the ground, these Roye Bakar, that they say it would be highly appropriate to add another month. So therefore, what Rish Lakish was saying, just like on that Gemara in Daf Yud Ches, when they went and made the Cheshbonis, they listened to the three Roye Bakar. That wasn't the decided factor, but they let that be part of the evidentiary proceedings that they heard from these three Roye Bakar. So here too, they're going to listen to Rav Chiya Bar Zanukin, they're going to listen to Rav Shimon Yoytzah, they go, Nishke Ferlich. So therefore, Rish Lakish was trying to, if you will, defend them and say, okay, even though I consider them to be bnei odom hakashurim al hashvias, nevertheless, they're no less than shloish raya bakar, where the rabban achash benayi samach, the rabbis are relying on their cheshbon, but nevertheless, they listen to what they have to say. So here too, the other rabbis are going to decide to go and be ma'avad ishara. They'll listen to what Rabbi Barzuk and Anuki and Rabbi Shimon Yitzhak have to say. And remember, Toysa said we're not actually being ma'avad ishara now. We're just collecting all the evidence and all the figures and all the calculations. It's going to be decided in another 6 months, another year, whenever they're going to decide. So, not a problem. But then, Vahadar Omar, then Rabbi Shlokesh had again a change of mind on this. And he said, you know, loy dummy. The Gemara that I just brought now is a Rai from Daf Yud Ches. It's really not a good Rai. Because Hosom Hoder Imnu Rabbanim Ibru Al Hushata. In that situation, it's not true that Rabbanim listened to the Shloish Roye Bakar, and they eventually made their decision on their own. Abahacha Kesher Rishoyim Hu. Two of the Rabbanim that are being Ma'aber, this is a Kesher of Rishoyim, this is a gang Chas Rishoyim, a bad guys. The Kesher Rishoyim Einim in Amin, and therefore they should be disqualified in participating in any type of deliberations, negotiations, because these guys are just bad. Where did we come up with the word Kesher Rishoyim? We're going to discuss that at some length in another few lines. But that was the term that Rish Lakish used, and he is saying all this out loud in front of Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan was not amused. Rabbi Yochanan, do eka means, oh, this is what is really terrible about this whole story that you told me. That you go and say about these two rabbis, who obviously couldn't have just been little minor league rabbis. They must have been major league if we're taking them for Ibra Shana. Ibra Shana, they only took, you know, the great minds of each generation. So therefore, says Yomar, to go quote Reb Chiya Bar Zanuk and Reb Shimon Yoytzovik, that their Kesher Shom Do'eka, that really is painful, that really is bothersome. Ki also the Kamid Reb Yochanan, eventually they too came in front of Reb Yochanan, and they apparently heard this story. They had learned the daf. They said to Reb Yochanan, Kari lan Roye Bakar le Omele Marvele Midi. He referred to us as the same as Roye Bakar, like in Daf Yud Ches, and you didn't go and respond and say something. Omelahu said Reb Yochanan out to them, the Kari lechu Roye Tzayin Maya Minele. And if they had called you Roye Tzayin, which is even a worse description.
Stam Gazlanim.
Oh, but it's not only Stam Gazlanim. If you remember, we had, hey, Shelly, great to have you back. We missed you terribly.
I missed you.
Okay.
We didn't see you last night.
What?
We missed you last night.
I had surgery this week.
Oh, yeah.
And this is my first time out.
Wow. That's a good excuse. Okay.
Welcome back. Yeah. Do you feel fine?
I feel fine. Well, okay. Sometimes.
You're always fine.
Very fine.
So okay. Roy Sohn are worse than Roy Bucker, but not just because they're Hashim on a Gezel, but why?
That was yesterday's Gemara.
There's a Gemara that Roy Bucker is they keep him in a refit.
Confined.
Confined.
Oh my God.
In a stall.
In a stall. Right.
Okay. It's profined. It's confined.
Even Roy Bucker could be a problem, but for the most part, they're.
If you go back to the Gemara, the Amud Beis, Chaf Hei Amud Beis, go about 6 lines into the wide lines on the bottom. Amar Rava Roya She'amru, that we said that a Royim are disqualified to be Dayanim or Edim. That's Echad Roya Bei Medaka, the Echad Roya Bei Megasa. Pray to me, Amar Rava Hachi, Amar Rava Roya Bei Medaka, Eretz Yisrael, Psulin, Chutz La'aretz K'sheirin. So when it comes to Bei Medaka, it's Pachal in Eretz Yisrael, Chutz La'aretz okay. Roya Bei Megasa, Filim Eretz Yisrael, K'sheirin. So what do I see from this? That the Roi Behemadaka are worse than the Behemagasa. What's the reason? Why the Imar says Megadlem? Because they're Megadlem, and unfortunately they may stray and eat from other people's fields.
So Shai, you did learn this yesterday.
And he meant the last 2-3 lines. Anyway,
I said beyond, we got to hear, but then we got to be stopped.
Yeah, Robert, you asking a question?
Yakov was Roi Dakos.
Yeah.
In Rukazdin.
Why did he call them Rashoim? I mean, they are doing the social work. How do we exist without shepherds that feed the lambs and the goats?
No, you're 100% right.
Yakov was in Rukazdin. He wasn't in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
The time of
Are you asking on today's Gemara? Are you asking on yesterday's Gemara?
Yesterday's Gemara. By consequence, today the Gemara is referring to yesterday's Gemara as well.
Because yesterday's Gemara is referring to the question of the Gemara didn't call them Rishoyim like Rish Lakish has called them. The Gemara just said about them, they are unfortunately suspect al hagezel. Why they suspect al hagezel? Because Royim very often let their sheep and or their cattle roam into other people's fields, and therefore, unfortunately, they are stealing from other people's grazing fields. However, as you know, Chazal tell us about Avram Avinu, and presumably that applies to all the other Sektoshim, that they had a machsoim, they had a
muzzle.
They had a muzzle, thank you, around their mouth, and therefore they were nicker. One could easily tell the difference between Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov's cattle and sheep, as opposed to everybody else.
Like Lot's.
Yes, yeah, especially Lot,
yeah, okay. And therefore, when they're able to tell immediately, yeah, these belong to the other Kedoshim, the reason why they're muzzled, so we shouldn't have that situation. Exactly as you're pointing out, Robert. Thank you. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. We heard that Rish Lakish accused the other two of being a Kesher Rishon. Where did this term come from? So the Gemara tells us now a bit of a painful story involving Shevna and Cheskio HaMelech. As we'll see in a moment, Chesky, as we know from Tanakh and as we know from the Gemara, was a great, great tzaddik. Until his time, his father, I think, was Ochaz, if I'm not mistaken,
yes,
who was a big, big Russia. And unfortunately, people were doing Avodah Zarah and all bad stuff during Ochaz's lifetime. Chesky HaMelech did a major, major revolution in Rochnius and Klal Yisrael, to the point that everybody were becoming now Talmid Chachamim, and they didn't find a Tinnik or Tanoikis all the way from Don Vad Be'er Sheva that wasn't totally fluent in Hilchis Tumah V'Tahara. So he made a major spiritual revolution. And this, of course, was appreciated by the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. And when the Goyim came and wanted to go and unfortunately kill the Yidden, what happened, Hashem made this was Sancheiriv, Hashem made a major nest overnight, that he had Sancheiriv at 185,000 troops that were all surrounding Yerushalayim and Yisrael and all the rest, and Hashem made in one night all the 185,000.
Their beepers died. Enough.
Yeah, they died with all beepers. Right. Anyway,
it was a serious situation.
Very serious. A serious situation. Very good. Okay, so that's the story with Sancheiriv and Cheskia. Cheskia had a right-hand man by the name of Shevna, who apparently was his secretary of state. And as we'll see in the Gemara, Shevna was a great, great Talmud Chochem, but unfortunately he was also a sinner, and that was his undoing, if you will. And that's why the Gemara refers to him as the Kesher Rishon. So we'll see. My Kesher Rishon, Shevna have a dorish betlisa rav v'sa. When Shevna would go and give a drush or a shir, he would darshan in front of 130,000. Not necessarily all at the same time. Perhaps they were in different groups.
Wow.
But you can just see he had a major following, 130,000. Cheskia had a smaller group. Havadorish Mechadzer Rabbis, he only had 110,000. So it would appear, therefore, that Shevna certainly had a greater public appeal, and perhaps it was even a greater Talmud Chacham than Cheskia. Anyway, Ki also Sancheiriv, when Sancheiriv came, Mitzor Alor Yerushalayim, and he made his tzar, meaning he
siege,
thank you, made a siege around Yerushalayim. How appropriate, because we just learned about the siege from the Sfer B'Tavis just 2 days ago. Anyway, Zekosav Shevna Piska Shod the Begira. Shevna thought that everything, all hope is lost. Cheskia Melech was said, Reboisai, all you have to do is be mispal. In the schus of all your learning, in the schus of all your mitzvahs and mas and toivim, if you're mispal from the depth of your heart, we're going to win them. Shevna, unfortunately, didn't have the same faith in the Rabbi Yishalayim, and therefore, what did he do? He wrote out a piska. Piska means a tzatla. Tzatla means a small note. Showed the Begir, he attached it to an arrow, and he shot the arrow over the wall to the Goyim, to the Sancheiriv, who was on the other side. Now, what did it say on this tzatla? Shevna and his followers and his group, Shlima, we're willing to go and surrender and make a deal with you. However, if you're going to deal with Cheskia, you'll never get anywhere because you can't budge him. He's standing firm. Shinemar, like it said in the Pasuk, Hinei HaRishoyim. Oh, so this is the Kesher of Rishoyim. Yidruchun Keshers, they're going to go and bend the bow as much as needed to. Koinuchitzam Al Yeser, and they're going to prepare the Chet. That's the arrow. Al Yasser means on that other part of the bow.
The bowstring.
Yeah, good. Anyway, So that's referring to Shemna, who's the Russia. How the Kamistapi, Chizkiah knew what happened, and he was partially scared. He said, Amen, Dilma Chasashon, Natchiadaita, the Kudsh Brichu, Basaruba. After all, he has 130,000, maybe 110,000, so maybe he is the majority, and he's going to win, and therefore, oyoyoy. Kim the Ruba, Mimsri, Inunamz Mimsri. If all that Roiv is going willing to go and settle, maybe we should also settle together with them. But Navi, the Omalay, the Bar Navi said, no, like Soymun Kasher, the Cholashiyam Rahamazek Kasher. Kiloimar, Kasher to show him who? This 130,000, all the followers that were following Shevna, it's a Kasher to show him, Kasher to show him, Inim and a minion, they are not counted for purposes Roiv and Miut. Roiv and Miut means among Erlechim, not among these traders, these people that want to go and settle against Cheski's wishes. He, Shemna, was so pompous and he was so sure and so confident. What he did was he went into the Beis HaChaim where they had the Kibbutz Beis Tovid, the royal burial plot, and he made a grave mistake. And what was that? He wanted to go and dig a grave, the Kibbutz Beis Tovid. But Navi came home and who are you? Get out of here. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to schlep you away like when schleps away a gever. A gever means a man as opposed to a lady. It's when a man has to go into Golus and he has to run and flee, it's much worse than if a lady has to do so. What's the reason why? Because when a woman goes, then a lot of people will at least have rachmanis when they see a lady nebuch homeless. In tatters and then homeless and all the rest. But men, they figure, yeah, I got my problems, you got your problems, you figure it out, do what you gotta do.
But she doesn't have this plot.
She has the plot, yeah, it's the plot here in the cemetery. Good. Anyway.
Was he pretending that he was going to be...
he was hopeful that Chizkiah would be, and that he was going to become the new king. Right, presumably with Sancheiriv's approval, he'll become the new king instead of Chizkiah. Pumpkin, yod, whatever. So the pasuk continues. So what does this mean? That first punishment that Hashem did to Shemna was that Tzaras was pireach on him. It says in the pasuk that a person who was a mitzayra valsafim yata, that they have to go and have an atifas atalis or atifas begodim that goes all the way down to the lips. We don't have that minhag today among Ashkenazim, but this, according to the Gemara, Maseches Boyed Cotton, this is what all Avelim did when they were sitting Shiva. And the Gemara there says, a Mitzoyra has many the same dinam, just like an Avel, he has to go and cover over the front part of his face and down to his lips. I can't say what the story is today, but I can tell you when I was still a Bucher, we had a boy in yeshiva in Beryankiv. I believe he was a Taimani, meaning a Yemenite, and unfortunately he had lost a family member. We went to go Menachem Ovel, and we went into their oil where they were sitting Avelis, and it was very, very unsettling. It was
spooky.
In a sense spooky, because the Avelim were sitting there on the floor, and they were talking to you. You could see their mouths, but they couldn't see anything, the higher part, the top part of their heads, because it was all covered over by a talis or by a sheet or by clothing or whatever. And you can only see from the mouth and below. Anyway, Zokti Yimara, Tzonef Tzenef Yitz Nefucha Tzenefa Kadu El Eretz Rachbas Yodai. The word over here, Tzonef Nefucha Tzenefa, all of those are the shyness like a mitznefes, which a mitznefes, a head covering circles the head. Turban circles ahead. And this word kadur, the way Rashi is learning, is that the chayolois of Sancheiriv are surrounding Yerushalayim, like the word kadur, Rashi says, is kishura, like a wall. The galois chal eres rachvas yidayim, because their intention is, after they capture Yerushalayim, to go and expel all you guys, you're all going to go into galus. That's how Rashi explains the pasuk. The Toisis, it says something interesting. The word kadur, as I'm sure you know, in modern Hebrew, means a ball. So Toisis says that the last few lines, that the word kadur is, see, he brings over here from a posik in Kehelis, Divrei Chachomim kedarvoinois, kedarvoinois. Darvon is usually the bottom of the plow that you use to go and plow the field. The Darshinon kekadur shelbonois, shezorkem zu liyar chaverta. It's like a ball that one throws one to the other. That's Darvoinois, Kadur, Shalbanois, Kachoda Moisin, Devreitero, Chaveril, Talmid of Zelozet. That's how people transmit and learn with one another. It's as if they're playing ball. Mm-hmm. That they learn from one another. Like Kisiv, it doesn't say it. Don't learn it. It doesn't say in the Pasuk, Ki Kardur Vainis. It says Kardur Vainis. Therefore, you can learn from that. Kardur Vainis is like playing ball. And therefore, he's saying that those are learning Torah, it's like playing ball. So I remember Rav Wolfson, the Chayim of Racha, from the famous Mashkiach of Tarvidas. Many of the Mefarshim wax at length about the fact that the Torah starts off with a Beis and Bereishis and ends off with a Lamed in Yisrael. Mm. They all say that means take the Lamed and follow it by the Beis, because as soon as you finish the Torah, you got to start all over again, and that's why it's Simchas Torah. Mm-hmm. We finish the Varim and now we begin Bereishis. So Lamed and Beis is Leiv and Rachman Aliba boy, and you got to put in all of your hearts and learning, you know, etc. Lamed. So what Rav Olson said, you don't have to learn Leiv, you go and learn Beis Lamed. That when you're learning here in Yeshiva, it should be like playing ball. Mm-hmm. Beis Lamed, you should learn with a gishmak. And just like when you have gishmak, when you're playing basketball and football and all that.
Volleyball.
You have a volleyball because you throw one to the other. Mm-hmm. Here too, that they should learn with a gishmak.
And the Rebbe, anyway, the first grade of the Helfand,
that
the Beis followed the baseball.
Ooh.
Baseball. Very good. Shkoyach, man.
That's a 10. Plus.
All right, so let's continue on. Tana, so we're continuing with the story of Shechna. Tana, who bikesh kolin beis adoinav, he wanted to go and bring shame onto his beis adoinav, onto Cheskia and all others. Lafichach nepach kvoidoi lekolin, and therefore he was disgraced and he was humiliated. What happened? After he sent that note, apparently Sancheriv said, okay, no, let's shmooze, let's talk. Mm-hmm. So ki havenofik ihu, when he was leaving with all of his entourage, perhaps up to 130,000 en masse, to meet with Sancheriv and his people, Asa Gavriel. Gavriel Hamalach came, Achti Lidasha Ba'api Mishar Yosef. As soon as he, Shevna, had gone through the gate, then Gavriel came and he locked the gate solid that nobody should be able to go
beyond by himself. He was now the gate.
All on his own. Amrulay, so when he got to the other side after he got out of Yishlaim, they said, hey, Mishar Yosef, Heicha, you sent that settle that all of your guys are willing to settle. You're the only guy. Amr Hadrubi, they must have changed their minds. Ah, you're just mocking us. And therefore, what did they do? Nakfu be'akovav, they went and
pierced
the heels on the back of their feet. Betalu, and they attached, now, since they had made a hole in those heels, they were able to go and take Znove Susayim, the tails of the susum of their horses, and they strang it through, threaded it through those, and voyimagaren oyisel koysel beganim, and now the susum went and schlepped them nebuch on the thorns and the thistles, and he had a very difficult end. Says Yimam Rabluzer, why did this happen? Shemna such a tamar chacha, 130,000 followers. Shemna bal hanohaya. Now what means bal hanoh? So Rashi says initially on the second line kimashmoi. In other words, yeah, he was learning, but, you know, he loved the Olam Hazeh. But that doesn't sound like that's enough to go and condemn him. V'yesh Omrim Mishkav Zohar. That was the Bal Hanoh that we're talking about, that he engaged in Mishkav Zohar. So that's why he was paraded all over, right, schlepped by the Zanvei Susein.
The first
Mishkav Zohar parade. Exactly.
When you're a Pied Piper, when you're not good yourself, that's one thing. When you're a Pied Piper, influencing 130,000 people,
Teignish, right?
That's really serious.
Yes, yeah, boy, it's serious stuff. Anyway, Seshem the Balanoa Hayak, Siv Hocha, how do we know he's a Balanoa? And as you'll see, it also has a reference to the Mishkav Zohar. Leich Bo El HaSoichan Hazeh. They said to Shevna, go to the Soichan. Soichan Pashup Shat, in this connection, means a treasurer. However, since it doesn't say the Gizmor, it says a Soichan. Uksif Hosn said by David HaMelech, we had it a few days ago with Avishag, Vatiloi Seichanes. And just like Seichanes means that Avishag was warmed up. They never married, and they never had Tashmish, but nevertheless, she warmed up David's body because he was Zakin. Paul Bayamim was very frail and fragile.
He was cold because he cut Shaul's beged in the cave, so it was Mida Kenegan Mida. He was cold in his old age.
Very good. So Avishag provided that warmth. Right. And he too, here too, our Shevna unfortunately provided that warmth, not to a woman, but to other men. So, therefore, that's a regular Balanoa, a Nishketite. Okay.
But the raya is contraband. The raya doesn't bring that he was Mishkav Zohar. On the contrary, if he brings to David, is a raya that he was not, this time it was for women, not for...
You're 100% right that we don't have a concrete raya from the Soichen and Seichenes that we're talking about Mishkav Zohar. But it must have been that the Chazal had a Masoira, had a Kabbalah, that that's why Shemna had his terrible downfall, because he engaged in Mishkav Zohar, and they found the Shtik Lasmachta from the fact that here it says Soichen, here it says Seichenes, that he was engaged in that type of activity that brought warmth to the body. But you're right. On Pasha Pshat and Gabi Avishag and David HaMelech, it was not a case of Mishkav Zohar, but it's an Asmachta that that was the Baal HaNoah that we're talking about. Getting back to our Gemara. The previous pasuk that we quoted on the Yomid Aleph, which was Kihine Harishoyim Yidruchun Keshes Koinu Chitzam Al Yasa Lirois B'moy Oifel LeYishrelev. So the Gemara had that pasuk on the Yomid Aleph, and now we are quoting another pasuk. I misquoted. The pasuk in the Yomid Aleph was LoYisoyimren Kesher LeChayla SheYoyimer HaOmazek Kesher. It's number two on the list here on the Yomid Aleph. And now we have another pasuk in Yeshaya. Kishos Yerasim Tzadik Mapol. Oh, so it was right after all. I'm sorry. Telem Yud Aleph Day. Back on the Amud Aleph. Number one. Torah Arashalom. Kida ki hinei harashom yidchur kyesha es koin luchitzam al yasal yiris by my oifal yishri life. So we said that means that Shemna went and drew back on the arrow, on the bow, and shot this tzetel into over to the other side. Send them a text. Oh. And Tehillim Yud Aleph Beis. Now the next pasuk is Tehillim Yud Aleph Gimel. That's number three here in Torah Shalom. Kiyashos is Yereson. Tzadik Mapol. So now the Gemara wants to know, what does this pasuk mean, and what is the relationship to the prior pasuk? Now the Gemara is going to dash in the word Shosois three different ways, as we'll see in the Gemara momentarily. Yereson means total destruction, totally destroyed. Tzadik Mapol. If that's the case, what has the tzadik accomplished? So Rav Yehuda Rav Eina both darshan in the same approach. Chad Amar Ilu Chizkiya V'siyatin Herosim Tzadik Mapol. If Chas V'Sholem, if it wouldn't have been of Shevna, if it would have been that Sancheiriv would Chas V'Sholem have destroyed Chizkiya and his followers, Tzadik Mapol, then what did Chizkiya accomplish in this world? Here, he was Machzid B'Tshuva, Roiv Rubam, if not Kulam of Klai Yisrael, and then he should get destroyed by these Rishoyim, by Sancheiriv. The Chad Amar and the other one learns the pasuk Il Beis Hamikdash Yehores. If the Beis Hamikdash would be destroyed, Tzadik Mapol. What have we accomplished in doing tshuva? Wouldn't we want that the Beis Hamikdash should stand now for eternity? So that's how they both learned the word Yereisen, that it would destroy something positive, destroy Chizki and Tziatai, or destroying the Beis Hamikdash. Well, how does the Hashosos relate to those two subjects? We'll see in the Gemara shortly. Va'ula Amar. The other way around. If Chas V'Sholem Machshavos of Shevna would have materialized, and Einan Erosais and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have destroyed them, Tzadik Mapol, then what would have the Tzadikim accomplished with what they did? So now the Gemara explains. We're now going to Ula's Pshat first, and he's saying that the word Shosais comes from the word Machshavos, which means the thoughts and designs. Now, where do we see that the word machshavas has anything to do with shosais? So Rashi says, we find by Paroi that after he had one or two makos, v'lo shos li by gam lezois, he didn't pay any attention to it. So you see that it refers to the machshava of an individual. That machshava is machshava of Paroi. Here shosais, the machshavois of shalois Rasha, which is referring to Shevna. If they would not have been destroyed by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tzadik Mapol, what has the Kodesh Baruch Hu allowed for this Shevna, this Rasha, to go and run amok and cause so much tzuris? Well, my Yom Beis Hamikdash Nami that Nan Evan Oisa Sham Mimoisin Voyim Rishayinu Mishsiya Oisa Nikris. That's where you refer to the Evan Shasiya, which is in the Kodesh Kadoshim. Ah, so Shasayis is referring to Beis Hamikdash Evan Shasiya. What is the pshat here in the pasuk? Hashosis yereisun, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has shown if he would have destroyed the shosis, which means chizkia, the tzaddikim. What's the relationship between shosis and chizkia? The tzaddikim are the metzuki eretz; they are the pillars of the world, and because of them, vayosh aleihem teva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the rest of the earth and the rest of the surface, because of these metzuki eretz, because of these tzaddikim. Vayoshes, oh, that's the word shosis. Hashem established the world in the course of the tzaddik.
This is the Tefillah of Chana.
Hashem took Eretz.
Shul Av.
I don't know if I guess you'd have to look it up. Look, you are right. The boy is saying, I have another pasuk to go and tell you that Tachtim Recham are called Shosais. Hifli Eitz Higdil Tushia. Tushia is a reference to the Torah. Why? Where does the word Tushia come from? And that's related, of course, to Shosais. How do I know Tushia is Torah? Amr Pchanan, Lam Nikar Shema Tushia, Meishi Matesh is Koich Shaladam. Person that learns Torah, it's a back-breaking work. We shouldn't think that it's, you know, a freebie. Having a good time. Oh, it's difficult. We're at this simple blot of Agadah that's already taken an hour and 5 minutes. So it gives you a sense of it. Dover Acher, Tushia Shenitle B'chashoyim Imni HaSotan. The Satan didn't want that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. When Shabbos says, "Tenu hoyt chalashemoyim," leave the Torah upstairs with the malachim. Don't send it down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to quietly go and send it down. The word chashoy is related to the word tushia. Dover Acher, tushia dvarim shel toyu sho'ilim mishusas aleim. Dvarim shel toyu means just of dibur, just of saying. Meaning that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah, as well as when you are learning Torah, when the Torah when Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, as well as when a person is learning Torah, it's only bedibur, kriya. Ah, so on Dvarim Shel Toyu, it's like oisiyos porchis ba'avir. Kadosh Baruch Hu is shoisis the world, even though it's taka just words. Nevertheless, Kadosh Baruch Hu was able to go and establish and very firmly the Torah, the world, on those words. Amar ula machshava miyales afilu divrei Torah. What means machshava? Rashi says machshava, he is talking about a person who has a daiga for food. Many yeshiva like, many koyling alike, unfortunately, they're constantly thinking, how am I going to go make money to go and support my families and to bring food into the house? So that mi'elis is like Lashon mi'ila, kun chas v'sholem, uproot and destroy afilu divrei Torah. Another person who is very sincere and he's learning geshmak and he's covering shas and he's doing a great job. But unfortunately, if he has dagas parnasa, dagas mezoinois, that distracts him, that can ruin everything. Shnemar meifer achshveis arumim, machshveis arumim, v'leisiyasena yedeyim tushia. Yekas v'sholem, it can be meifer, the machshveis of the people who are learning shtark, and those that are not able to learn Torah because of these machshveis. Rashi learns this in a positive way, and he says, meifer machshveis arumim. He gives mezoinos to these people. He takes away their bad machshavos that their daigis for parnasa. Okay, I am Shemarash. Omer Rabbi, imasukim lishma enam yalis. If they're really learning lishma, then it's not going to bother them, even though they are poor and they don't have a proper food. Shnemar Rabbi's machshavos blavish vatzas Hashem yisokim. Eitz sheyesh bo dvar Hashem. If the eitz involves dvar Hashem, meaning that they're learning Torah, then he talked to Ma'olam, don't worry, eventually everything will work out one way or the other. Okay, we now have concluded that part of the Mishnah, now we go to the final part of the Mishnah, Amri Yehuda Emasai. What was this Emasai? When we talked about the four categories of people, especially the two categories of the gamblers, which were the Mesachim Kuvya and the Mafrich Yoinim, they're all disqualified. Amri Yehuda, what are they disqualified? Bizman She'en Lem Umnes Elohu. That's the only thing that they do all day. They are gamblers. If they happen to do this as kind of a hobby, what they really are doing, Baruch Hashem, they're working, they're forgiving guilt, but every once in a while they want to go to Atlantic City or to Las Vegas to go and splurge a couple of bucks, then they are kosher because basically they're normal people and unfortunately they have that terrible time.
But they don't know that it really is lost wages.
Las Vegas lost wages.
Yeah.
That as long as they have another good profession, another means of income, it's okay. Since we're only talking about psulim derabbanan, not the araisa, and not necessarily does everybody know about these people's and unfortunately their faults, so then bezin has to be machrus and say, don't take Jack Smith as an aid or as a dayan, because unfortunately he is a mesachi bekuvia or royeshvius or whatever the loyve beshvius, etc. Like we had one of those four categories. So you have to make achrozah bebezin. Once said, you have to make the announcement. You don't have to make the announcement. He says, Stam roy apostle, which sounds like you don't have to have a chroza. Anytime you know a shepherd is man as that, you can assume that he is a ganav and a gazlin, and therefore apostle yes. Hey, how can you say Stam Roy Apostle? Don't you have to have Achraza? You don't need two Adam to come and say, we saw Jack Smith, the Roya, take the behemoths into somebody else's field. You can be Machriz just based on the fact that he's a Stam Roya. In other words, unless you know differently, you can assume that he is a Ganif and a Gazlan, therefore you can announce it doesn't. Jack Smith is a Roya, and therefore that's, you know what the ramifications are. Then in all likelihood he's a ganef, and therefore he's possibly a looking why he matana to have a chasim alay train gazlanim. There was a matana, another tishtar matana, and two gazlanim were signed on the bottom. I didn't hear the announcement that these two guys are gazlanim, so I would think without the achroza they still have a cheskes kashrus. It's only those four categories of the Mishnah because they're only drabban. A real gazan, the araisa, everybody knows the gazan. His picture is there, the wanted picture in the post office or something like that. You don't have to have a chazan. Omrav, okay. Simon dover varoy is katv. Omrav nachman. Oichli dover acher psul liedis. Someone is an oichli dover acher. And I know what everybody thinks when they start this gemara. We're talking about eating chazan. Right? Isn't that what you said?
Not me.
I know you wouldn't say that, but everybody else would. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi is about eight lines before the wide lines. That's a chil Hashem machmas momin v'havalei kerosha dechomas. In other words, if you need support, go to the Jewish community. Don't go and get support. Tzedakah min hanochrim. That's a chil Hashem. Instead of collecting money here in Bismedish, go and send them to St. Mary's Church across the street. Mm-hmm. Go during Mass and go and collect money from there. What is he going to get? He's going to get bupkis. But that's a separate story.
Worse, if he gets money of a taiva to continue there.
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. So, the is also
Avodah Zarah.
Good point. That's true.
And we should be cross with
this. This is Ochle, that's why it's...
Be cross, yeah. Okay, so then that's the pshat over here. Now, before we get to the follow-up, notice that the Gemara says, "Oichli dovrach psul neidis." That's only if he does it. Then everybody knows about it. It's public. If he goes privately to private goyim, to private kaboy tzedaka among the goyim, and says, "You know, I really need a handout," that's okay. Yeah. And even befehesi, it's only us of the efshalay. It's zune that he has other options and alternatives to support himself, either by making money or schnarring among the yin. But if there's no other way, there are other ways of supporting himself quietly, and he goes b'fasi. If this is, you know, the final
court of last resort,
Now, how do I know that this is referring to tzedakah from the Akam? Maybe it's referring to eating chazer. Rashi doesn't address that. Rashi just says simply, talk about Makali Tzedakah. But the second choice before the end says, Lekalef Rashi, don't say Oichli Dover Achadayin Oichli Chazir. The Iba Oichli Chazir, Hechi Mafli Bein Tzinu Lefasya. Chigar Mi Oichli Nevelis. Therefore, skip two lines. Alir Kavisha Kundrish Dayin Makali Tzedakah Ben Anochrim. So, Toysis comes up with the same shot like Rashi, it's talking about Tzedakah Ben Anochrim. But he adds, don't think we're talking about Oichli Chazir, because if so, why should there be a distinction? You do Behesi, you do Betzina. Mm-hmm. It should be all the same. Okay, back to our Gemara. Okay, even though the person is kosher on Aroyis, he's kosher li Edis.
Wow.
Why is that? We'll see in a moment. Omer of Sheshis. Oni Mari, can you explain to me? Our boy Mekasve, you're giving him 40 fetch, the kosher, he should be kosher. The person is kosher al Erva, he wouldn't normally go and get Malkus.
Right.
So Rashi says, we're not talking about someone over here that actually did it, Dvar Erva Mitasro and all the rest.
Right.
For that he would go and get one of the Arba Mises.
Right.
And we're talking about a person right. that Malkin Aloy Toiva Shmua. They say about a fellow that unfortunately there's a cloud of suspicion that's around his head. And he said, what? You believe everything that you're... What do they say? Where there is smoke, there's a fire. And therefore, if you feel that this is unjustified, why is there a cloud? There's no cloud in anybody else in the community, only on you. Yeah. Something is wrong. So, Ibazoi, we're going to go and give Malkus to the guy, and then you can tell me, but we can go and take him as an aider, as a dive. Does that make sense? That was what he asked in a rhetorical fashion. So the Gemara doesn't even respond to Rav Sheshis's question, because the Gemara assumes here we're talking about our Mishnah about Psuli Edis for Masu Matan, for Mekach Memkar, for money. Exactly. The fact that you are concerned that this person, Choshul Al Aroyas, it's not a very bad thing and he deserves to get
Malkus. He's not Choshul in the Aveira that he's Niskal in.
Yeah, oh, so that's why the Americans are not. Anything having to do with Aroyas, then he's possible. Because, for instance, if he's going to go and say, I know that Jack Smith passed away and therefore his wife is a Pnuya, why is he doing that? Because he may have eyes on her that the Bez is going to go and pass it, okay? She's going to marry anybody, and then he's going to go and marry her. Oh, so therefore he's possible. So then Taka Choshel Aroyis is Taka possible. But now the Gabi Edis Mamas. That's to go and give Edis that the husband passed away, and therefore to be Moitzi her from the status of Eishes Ish, and to make her now into an Almano or a Grusha. Avli Yule, but to bring her in into Aser as Eishes Ish. In other words, yeah, I was at the Chasana, I can testify that she married.
That was
one of the Kedushin. Less Lemba. That's not Koshet Al Arayis. If anything, he's making it more difficult for him to go marry because he's saying she's prohibited Eishes Ish. Frank Demar Pshita, why do you even have to go and waste our time? It's a Kedavah Parsha. Oh, it's not a waste of time. I would say Mahati Filei. He prefers this.
He'd rather be with a married woman.
With a married woman. Than with anybody, a Panuya, anybody can do that.
Forbidden fruit.
Sorry?
Forbidden fruit.
Forbidden fruit. Right? Exactly. That's my Ginnu Yitok. So I think Kamash Mulan, the Kama, the Kaima, the Kamot, the Kaima, Hachi Shchichalei. Nevertheless, if the Bezin is able to establish that she's a Grusha Almana, it'll be much easier for him to have contact with her and to Chas V'Sholem do things that one should not do. However, if she's an Eishes Ish, that means he's saying that she's married to Jack Smith, and therefore it'll be much more difficult to
Jack
be able
Smith,
to.
Isn't that the prosecutor?
I know, that's what I was.
I have no idea. I just pulled it out of the hat, but if that's the name of the prosecutor,
straight off the internet.
Oh, the Omer of Nachman. Ganav Nisan, the Ganav Tishrei, Loishme Ganav, a person who works in the fields during Nisan and Tishrei. Why do we pick on Nisan and Tishrei? We'll see in a moment, because these were harvest times. And this person is taking an extra fruit or two and he's putting it into his pocket. Technically, he is stealing, but nevertheless, he's not called a Ganav for our purposes to passel him for Eidos or for Dayanus. Why? Because Hanimil, we're only talking about an Orus. What does the Gemara mean to say? If this happens to be a paid worker, where he's getting his $10 salary or whatever he gets, and he has no fringe benefits, zero, and he is unfortunately taking stuff and putting it in his pockets, well, he's a ganav. If this is an oris, who gets lemechta shlish for revia, he is unfortunately a person that is going to be moira heter for himself and say, listen, I'm entitled to go and get 25%, 30%, whatever, 40%, 50%. And at the same time, I'm working for that other guy who is
sitting in an air-conditioned base of Medrash, and I'm schmitzing on here.
Either that, or maybe sitting into an air-conditioned room and watching television or something like that, or just loafing off, or just doing nothing, and saying, ich schwitz, and he's at the very least, I'm entitled to get a couple of payers because I'm working so hard today, I'm exhausted.
He's not eating it on the spot, he's putting it in his basket.
Fine, and therefore Al Kali Chalaisitin, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so therefore, since he is Moira Heter, although what he's doing is wrong, there's no question about it. However, this is the type of thing that we could feel for the guy. It's tolerable. That's a good word. Ikre de Rav Zvid, Ikor means the farmer, had gonav kava de sari upasle. One of them stole a kav of soirim. Soirim, of course, is barley. Had gonav kibura de ahini upasle. What's that kibura de ahini? So Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Kimin eshkol yesh tmorim harbi ba'anaf echad. A whole cluster of dates, and he took that and he stole that. And he marshaled him. Zokti Gemara. So that was one thing. So what the Gemara is illustrating is because he was just his worker, his ikar, he wasn't his oris. An ikar has no right to go and take anything aside to salary unless they, you know, when they have a deal, permission, but otherwise you can't take it. So therefore you're possible. Hano kiburoi the cover nafsha biyom tavrishin shalatzeres. They were grave diggers that did a very grave thing, and they went and buried a mess Nebuch on the first day of Atzeres of Shavuos. Now, if you do that on the second day of Yom Tov, that is already mutter, depending on the circumstances, because give it a mess, and it's always fake in the ointment. Second day, agansa maisa. But we're talking about the first day, it's about its osir. You're not allowed to do any of that. The Shamtinu Rapapa was something like this. Rapapa put them in the pain, and he said, you can no longer. What's the reason why they apostle ladies? Because obviously they're getting paid for their work, and you're working on Yom Tov, and even though you're doing it's a noble thing, that's very nice, but nevertheless, you're getting paid on Yom Tov, therefore you're apostle ladies because you're Choshen Alamam.
Mm-hmm.
However, Rach Sherinu Rav Unabre Rishur, said, okay, what they did is wrong, however, they're Choshen to be Edom or Deyan. I'm going to puff a Rishon. So Rishon, they're working on Yom Tov. So he answered him back, Sovri Mitzvah Kavdi. They feel they're more ahead of themselves. They're doing a mitzvah that a person shouldn't go and lie. They never nivel a mess. But don't they hear? Don't they know we put them in chayim? And they continue to do it even though we know we put them in chayim. And therefore, they should have learned their lesson. They assumed to themselves that even though they're doing a mitzvah, it is that they're violating Yom Tov, and so therefore the Rabbanim want. Okay, and so the Chachamim want to get them a degree of atonement, and therefore, you know what? They put them in Chayim so that they should be atoned for their sin, but they think that the overriding concern is the Nivul HaMeis, and we're doing a mitzvah, and that's the way the Moira Hatter. So since they're not doing it for the money, they're doing it L'Shem Shemayim, even though what they're doing is absent-minded, but they mean well. Because of that, they are kosher to aid this after all.
Wow. One question I'm holding, because I thought maybe more address it. Wow. He said in the Mishnah, when they have a